in John 10, if you'll be finding that this morning. I'm going to present to you this morning two very distinct candidates. It's not Donald Trump, it's not Joe Biden. You already know all about that. It's on your conscience how you vote. But we're going to talk about two other candidates that are very distinct and paint a picture of where both of them stand. And you got to make a choice which one you're going to follow. These candidates, of course, which one's already won the victory, we know this. The reigning president of all, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Reigning can never be voted out, or he's got a lifetime term, right?
Amen.
He's on the throne forever. Then another candidate in our lives, always trying to usher its nasty little head in, called the devil. And the devil is real. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil is real.
The devil is real.
Now, like I said, I've seen him in you before. Yeah, you better be careful about that. Anyway, the devil is real. And the devil is what makes us want to do the things we shouldn't do, right? The devil is that little thing on the shoulder of Tom, on Tom and Jerry, right?
Yeah.
Eat the little mouse. Eat the little mouse. No, Thomas, don't eat the mouse. Do thou what is right. Eat the little mouse. Eat the little mouse. Most time we eat the little mouse, don't we? That just is more fun. I'm going to tell you, sin can be fun. Sin can be pleasurable. But sin leads to destruction. And that's the hook the devil gets you in, right? It's kind of like an oil change. You ever go to the garages? Oil change. Any car, $29.99. Oh, that's great. You go pay it, it's $43.50.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, $2 disposable fee, $3 this fee, $5 shop fee, $6 cloth. Okay. Why don't you just say then it's $29.99 plus $17.50. So, whatever. They get you on that, right? The devil gets us. He shows us this beautiful picture of what is appealing to us. We take that bite, and then we're hooked. Drug addicts don't ever grow up want to be a drug addict. Alcoholics don't ever want to grow up to be alcoholic, right? They first test, they first drink, they first try, they first do. And some people can't get free from that ever because it brings pleasure in the beginning, or it seems to bring pleasure, and then they're hooked. We have two very distinct candidates that we can follow in our lives. One is Jesus, one is Satan. Let's see what John 10 says. Well, let's go to my next slide first. Sherry done ruined it for everybody. Thank you very much. Anyway, vote. Victorious. It's actually victorious, a victory, but close. Victorious over the enemy.
Amen.
Jesus is victorious over the enemy. That's no question about it. Now, we still sin because we don't always, as Bill talks, Sunday school, follow God's will. Right? I love what he said, that God's got a blueprint for our lives. I believe that. But we choose whether to execute that or not. God's not going to make us follow his will. He's not going to make you do it. He presents to you. He speaks to you. He directs you. But then we have to make a choice. Okay, Lord, I hear you. I see you. I'm going to follow that. We know that Jesus has already obtained the victory. And we are victorious through Christ. But here on this earth, we have battles. On this earth, we have pain. On this earth, we have struggles and storms. In this earth, we have mountains to climb and valleys to cross. But to know that Jesus is in control no matter what happens, to know my future is secure by what Christ has done, to know that nothing happens on this earth can derail me from my future inheritance, it's all that's good. All is well with my soul. That's why we can sing that song, All Is Well With My Soul, because I know the victory is in Jesus. So vote is my message today, victorious over the enemy. Let's start in John chapter 10. This is the words of Jesus speaking, verse 7. Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
Now, I'm not a farmer. I live in a farmhouse, but I'm not a farmer. And from what I hear farmers say, and people that know these things, cattle or sheep have to have grass to eat. And when that grass and those fields start to go down, you have to move them over to where there's more grass to eat because they have to be moved to where the grass is at to be fed. Jesus is telling us, I've got what you need, always. I'm the door, I'm the way of life, I'm your salvation, and I've got what you need. I can feed you. I can quench your thirst. You go in and out and find what you need in me. I've got everything that you possibly desire covered. I've got it. This is the candidate Jesus. Come in and out, be saved, go in and out, find pasture. Here's Satan. Here's his campaign platform, okay? The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who wants to follow that kind of candidate? What did Joe Biden or Donald Trump come out and says? I'm going to run on this. I'm going to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. Wouldn't get many votes, would it? Now, some of us may feel both or one of those are doing that now, but they don't come out and say it. Here's Jesus. I'll give you life. I'll give you salvation. I've got what you need. You'll find pasture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The shepherds of Psalm 23 talks about this very thing. Here is Satan. I'm a thief. He tells who he is up front. I'm a thief. I'm going to steal from you. I'm going to try to kill you and destroy you. And we know that. But the devil is subtle, and the devil is sneaky, and the devil comes in very pretty packages. One example I use many times with alcohol is this. You don't see any beer commercials of tragedy. Beer commercials are celebrating, right? Beer commercials are always hot women and party time, right? Beer commercials are blondes and Corvettes and watching the football game and high-fiving their bottles and everything as well. But it doesn't show you the abusive dad or the abusive husband or the divorced family or the liver failure or all the stuff that comes with or the bankruptcy, all that comes with that vice of people that can't control it. You used to have cigarette commercials back in the day. Back in those old-time movies, the black and white movies, it was cool to smoke. Remember that? The old black and white Humphrey Bogart. Here, look at you, kid. Oh, man. Made you want to smoke, man. I'll be like, Bogey, light it up, baby. You know? But they found out, you know, it's not cool. It's killing people. These things come in subtly, and they come in very pretty packages. But then when you open the package, there's a bomb inside. And that bomb can destroy your life. The candidate called Satan does not love you, does not want anything good for you, and is always after your life. And there's many people that follow his path, not understanding the love of God. And we're going to paint a very clear picture of Jesus this morning, of who he is. He says that I come, Jesus said, here's the contrast. The thief steals, kills, destroys, but Jesus comes that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Glorious day, right? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. He buried with my sins and he rose with my justification. He was buried with all the judgment I deserved. We talked about this last week. All the judgment I deserved, all the wrath of God I deserved, that wrath was poured upon Jesus, and that offering of Christ satisfied the demand that sin had to be paid for. It satisfied the demand from God that somebody had to be punished. And all of that was poured upon Christ so we, his people, could be free. This is the Jesus candidate I'm talking about that gave his life for us, that we could be free, even though we mess up and even though we still fail and there's nobody perfect. And I get so tired of religious people that want to be the holier-than-thou people that think everybody, if you don't live perfect, you're not God's child. I've got 3 children. They've all acted like a fool at one time or another. They've all messed up. They've all done stuff I've disagreed with. I've disappointed my parents, and I've disappointed my wife, and I've disappointed you as the pastor. I mean, you know, but hopefully I'm still your pastor, and hopefully I'm still her husband. And amen. I'll always be the father, you know, of my 3 kids. My kids, even though they mess up, they're still my children. I love them. I don't expect them to be perfect. They're my children. I love them. God loves us through our failures and through our sins. He loves us. And so many folks don't paint the right picture of Jesus. They paint him as this mean, wrathful, vengeful, pointing the finger, gotcha kind of God that I'm waiting for you to make one mistake so I can zap you back down. That's not who God is, church. That's not who God is at all. Religion tells you that, but that's not what the Bible tells you. John chapter 8, verse 44. Here he talks once again about this. This is the candidate Satan in verse 44, John 8. You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Candidate Satan, right? A liar and a murderer. Who wants to follow that? Sounds terrible on paper. But once again, what's that old country song? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, right? If you don't follow God's will, if you don't allow God's plan to be executed in your life, you will follow Satan. You will follow his plan. If you're not following God, there's only 2 choices for our lives to surrender to. We surrender to the God of the universe, or we surrender to Satan and his ways. We got 2 choices. And the Satan way is a way of destruction. He's a liar, he's a murderer, and we know this. But why do we follow him? Because he's also a deceiver. In the very beginning, he told Adam and Eve, he says, oh, no, you can touch that. Don't worry. The reason he's telling you can't touch is because if you do, your eyes will be open and you'll be like a god. Well, they liked hearing that. I mean, think about that. If I bring an apple to Gail and say, hey, eat this apple. No. David over there said, don't take no apples from you. They're bad. They're bad all. Now, David's just saying that because if you eat this, man, you'll be superhuman. You'll get all the women you want, all the Corvettes you want, all the money you want. Come on, just one bite. That's just one little bite. And old Gail says, oh, shucks, forget David. Then he's hooked. He's hooked. How easily we're influenced, right? How easily we're derailed from the truth. Because we don't recognize how Satan operates. He is slick. He is sly. And he brings stuff into our lives that tempts us. He individualizes our temptations, right? He knows what tempts us. He knows what draws us. He knows how he can get a foothold on us. That's why the Bible says, give no opportunity to the devil. None. Don't give him any. Play with fire, you get burnt, right? Touch a hot stove, you get burnt. Just don't even play with it. Leave it alone. Romans 6:23, a very familiar verse to us seasoned Christians in here. Romans 6:23 says this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Sin brings death, but the blood of Jesus brought life. This is a gift he gave us. We have a gift through Jesus, a gift that changes us, a gift that restored us, a gift that redeemed us, a gift that made everything new again. Satan is there to destroy your life. He's always whispering in your ear. He's always getting in your mouth. He's always trying to take over your tongue. He's always around, and he's always appearing. That's why it's very important we follow God's plan and we stay connected with him and that we open our days, as Bill was saying, let's go with a little time of God in the morning. As we say a prayer, we open the book, you know, and read a scripture. We do something to start our day out with God because, man, the devil is waiting in flames on you to open your day. I'm telling you, your feet hit the floor, he's active. He's a roaring lion, right? Roaming to and fro, man, seeking. Anybody got cats in here? Cats are hunters, aren't they? Man, they look at it. They're so nosy. You lay them glasses right there in front of a cat, it'll go over there. Just sniffing, looking at it. Cats are hunters. They're always waiting to pounce something. Remember Lion King? Mufasa's trying to teach his little Simba how to pounce the bird. You know, he's down the tall grass. Mufasa saying, just wait. Just wait. Shh, be still. Wait. He lunges out of that grass. That's the devil. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting to pounce upon you. We must recognize what his intentions are. We must recognize what he's trying to do. We're in a world that is, very much a different world than it was. Spiritually minded, I'm talking about. A world that is very different. And with the COVID hitting in March, the church landscape has changed. The church world has changed. There will be people in this church, more likely, that will never come back here because COVID shut down. They'll never walk back in these doors. And that's a shame that we have let something like that derail our lives. He is still on the throne, and he is still king, and that's not going to change. And the candidate called Jesus has won the victory, and he is in charge. And I place all of my trust in him. Church, whatever happens next week, if the city's burned, if the streets burn, whatever, if Facebook blows up, whatever happens, understand this. We have victory over the enemy. We have victory over Satan. We are the children of God, and no election changes our position at all with that. He is my God, and I am his child. And I will trust him through every season, through every election cycle, through every economic cycle, through every social cycle. Whatever happens, I trust the Lord. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. God's back's not turned, and God's not ignoring it, and God's not growing a deaf ear or a blind eye to what's happening. He sees, he hears, and he knows, and he's still in charge. And what he is saying is, trust in me, as Proverbs says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So trust that, and believe that, and don't get caught up in what is happening. As a pastor, I have my own opinions, very much. I share them with Melanie. Don't share them with a lot of people, my parents and Melanie. I don't share them with y'all because, like I told Melanie one time, I said, look, Republicans and Democrats both give tithes and offerings. Ha, ha, ha. Joke, y'all. So, I know Michael Jordan said that one time in an interview. They were talking to Michael Jordan and says, why don't you take a stance on some social issues and political issues, Michael? Why don't you just don't ever say anything. You're this biggest face in the game, one of the most popular people in the world. Why don't you ever say anything? He made that statement. He goes, you know, because he was talking about, you know, because, you know, Michael Jordan is, from what I understand, is a, you know, registered Democrat. He told the guy, he says, well, Republicans buy Nikes too. That's what he said. Republicans buy Nikes too. Smart man, right? And so I have my opinions, but I refuse to let myself be rattled by this world that I'm not really a part of. I'm walking through it, and I'm here. As Bill talked about this morning, we're sojourners through this land. We are pilgrims passing through. But I'm following the shepherd. It's all that matters. You know, my parents have been under their first, let's see, who was president when you were born, Mom? You remember? Remember that far back? Truman. So think about this. My mom has made it from Truman to Trump. TNT, baby. Truman to Trump. God has kept her through every season. Some are Democrats. Some are Republicans. Some are good presidents. Some are bad presidents. Right? Some are more conservative. Some are more liberal. Some are better character, some are poor character. But you know what? Mom has made it from Truman to Trump because Mom didn't follow Truman or Trump. Mom followed Jesus, her King and her Lord. And she knows that when all of this absolves, the kingdom of God still remains. His kingdom rules forever. His kingdom stands forever. When all these political parties fall apart, the one that won't is Jesus, our King and our Lord, the kingdom of the Most High God. It will always stand. Next verse will be in 1 Peter 5:8. We just read this. I just said it a while ago. 1 Peter 5:8. Talking about Satan. We're painting his character. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why are some of y'all laughing when I said that? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he tells us that's our adversary. The devil ain't your friend. He is your adversary. He is your enemy. He purposely is against you to destroy you and attack you and pull you down. There's nothing good comes from the devil. He says, be watchful, be alert, be sober. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He continually trying to get into our business and our lives. And it may not be what we call the big sins, right? Ain't the big sins. You know, us Christians, we got big sins, right? You know, the drinking, the fornication, the adultery, the big sins, right? But you know what? The devil can get into our mind and he can cause us to start having doubt about things. Amen. He can get into our mouth and start saying things we shouldn't say and sowing seeds we shouldn't be sowing. He can get into our hearts and begin to turn our attention away from God subtly. We've got to be careful that we don't let that happen. Because I know the world is changing and the world is evolving and the world is so different than it was even a couple of years ago. Things have so changed. Our kids aren't even in school, half of them right now, and just things are just so different. We have social media 24/7 where a person can literally, a 16-year-old can literally stay in their bedroom pretty much and do anything in life that we did at 16, almost. I mean, it's amazing. Everything is here. They're hearing all this stuff, getting all this information, and the devil works through that. Don't get caught up, church, on look, the Bible says we are the light of the world, right? A light. Don't get caught up arguing with somebody about stuff that you're not going to change your mind about. I know we get mad about things. And we want to just fuse about things. We want to throw everything out there on Facebook. That's what the devil wants you to do. Be a light. Say, you know what? I refuse to get caught up. I got my opinion, but I'm not going to blow out this light. I represent God. I represent him in everything that I do. I'm a living sacrifice every day to God, or I should be. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says this. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4:4. in whom the god of this world, which is talking about Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. Once again, if we paint the right picture of God, people will want who we serve. When we're looking at them saying, wearing pants to church? Ain't that a little bit short skirt for church? I thought you was a Christian. You mean you did that, and you go here, and you do this, and you do that, and you do that? Who said, that's not God? That's you. Amen. That's your big fat finger getting in the way. That ain't God. God's a God of love. I'm going to be honest with you. It's our business as Christians is to follow God's, as Bill said again, follow God's plan for our lives. I can't follow Gordon's plan. You know, I don't care. It ain't my business to chase Gordon down and pull him out of here and pull him out of this fire and pull him out of here and, you know, take this word of God and just, you know, beat him with it and stuff and say, you know, thou sinner, hell-bound damnation. That ain't my job. My job as a minister and as a Christian is to simply be a light. You hang one of them lights out in your front porch, what happens? Bugs come to it, don't it? Now, granted, they zap and die. We don't want that. But the point is, the light brings them, right? It brings them to the light. You turn on your porch light at night, all these bugs start, you hear them bouncing off your light. They're drawn to that light. You ain't got to do a thing but flip a switch. You ain't got to get there and say, hey, mosquito, I'm the light. Hey, Mr. Bee, I'm the light. Hey, Mr. Moth, here's the light. Come on. Come on. All you do is flip a switch, and they automatically come. Church, flip your switch.
Amen.
Just flip your switch and be a light. You ain't got to say a word sometimes. Just be a light. And then watch what will happen. The devil has tried to stifle the light and keep people blinded from seeing the true gospel. The gospel is not Baptist. The gospel is not Pentecostal. The gospel is not Catholic. The gospel is not Presbyterian. The gospel is not the First Church of 7th Street. The gospel is not any of that. The gospel is this beautiful message that Jesus Christ, the very face of God, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, took our place on the cross. He was a substitute for us, where all the judgment and wrath we deserved was poured upon him, and that satisfied the demand that sin had to be paid for. And now we, by accepting that through faith, say, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus took on all of my sins. I believe he took up all of my burden. I believe that the earth grew dark for those three hours. What was happening is all the wrath and all the pain and all the judgment was being poured upon him. And the light of the world, those 3 hours, was being extinguished in darkness. But the lights came back on, hallelujah. The light came back on the third day when that stone was rolled away. He came out. And forevermore, we are justified. We are declared righteous by God. That's what justified means. Declared righteous by God. We've been declared righteous by God. Not because of what we've done or because of who we are, but because of what he did and because of who he is. That's why we are righteous. The perfect Lamb of God. No more goats and rams and calves had to be sacrificed. No more high priest standing there once a year in the Holy of Holies absolving the sins of a nation. It is now one time. Look at Hebrews 10. He went in once and for all and forever to obtain eternal redemption for me. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm free forevermore. I'm unchained forevermore. I'm not bound anymore. I'm completely washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Not by my works, but by his grace. Not by what I've been, but by what he has done. That is how I'm saved. This is the picture of Christ. This is who he is. This mic is getting in my way. This is who he is. But here's what happens. We can't get people to Jesus because we're in the daggone way. We're in the way. Man, I get so tired of the judgment of other people and what they are saying. It's not their journey. It's not their walk. Our sins, we're always going to have a sin nature fighting against us. Paul had that his whole life. I mean, Paul sold out, man. Paul, He had it rough. He didn't marry nobody. He got thrown in prison more than one time. He got beat in the back more than one time. He was shipwrecked one time. Ran out of town more than one time. And in the end of his life, in 2 Timothy, he was executed just for the gospel. He had a horrible natural life. But I love his words in 2 Timothy 4, right before he's about to die. He says, you know, my departure's at hand. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. And now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. See, Paul was looking future-minded. He wasn't looking at this world. We put so much. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter who's in the White House as far as our. I mean, I know things matter. We do our job. It's very important we vote. Please, y'all, vote. Vote, vote. But we need to do our civic duty. But none of that matters in the scheme of who provides for us. The Lord shall supply. That's what the Bible says, Philippians, right? My God, not my president. My God, G-O-D. G-O-D in the H-O-U-S-E. G-O-D. My God shall supply all of my needs according to the riches of the United States Treasury. According to the riches of the Republican or Democratic Party. According to the riches of how much tax I get. No, no, no. The Bible's clear when he tells Paul, look, don't worry. I'm your God. I'm going to supply your needs according to my riches in glory. And God's riches don't run out. When jobs are lost, God keeps providing for you. When food runs out, God can make manna come from heaven. When your body is broken, God can bring healing. God is your healer. He's your counselor. He's your provider. He's your protector. He is your everything. God is all in all. That's who we trust. That's the picture of God. So remember that as this week comes, and you're fuming at the TV, and you're mad, and you're angry, and you're throwing rocks through it, and you're marching downtown with your signs. Just, man, just trust God. Lord, you're in the same position you've always been. And I trust you. That moon's still going to shine, right, Bill? Whether it's Trump or Biden. That moon's going to shine. The sun's going to rise on a Democratic White House or a Republican White House. It's still going to rise. This church is still going to go on. Who never wins the white, don't matter. We'll be here Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Same bat channel, same bat time. Tune in. We'll be here. Doesn't matter. I trust God completely. Ephesians 6. Or my friend Dave, which is here this morning, by the way, says, let's turn to hesitations. Ephesians 6. Chapter 12 and 13. Look at what Paul says here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. President Trump has probably been the most hated president of our lifetime. I think we'd all agree with that. I mean, not all of us don't hate him, but many in the country do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is no reason for the kind of vile evil and anger to be spewed upon any individual like that. Amen. None. I mean, there's not. It's different not to agree with somebody. Like, I don't like the New England Patriots. Can't stand the Patriots. But I don't go steal Patriot signs out of your yard. I'm not going to put a burning cross in a Patriot yard. You know, I'm not going to go that wacko. There's so much anger. You know why there's so much anger and hate? Because we're not dealing with flesh and blood. Mm-mm. Trump's not the problem. This is the problem. Amen. Yes. Church, this is the problem. Until we let God fix this. I've been voting now. The first president I voted for, I think, was in 92 was the first time I voted, I think. No, it was 92. 92 election was the first time I voted. Some people I voted for won, some I voted for have lost. But not one time did I spew such anger and hatefulness for the one that I didn't vote for. To the point I want them dead. I want them maimed and hurt. I want them to burn in hell forever. These are things we're hearing. You know why? Because we're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. If the love of God is in us, we can love all people. We can love them. Black, white, Hispanic, Republican, Democrat, liberal, gay, straight. We can love people. There have been more than one time in this church, whether you know it or not through the years, more than one time we've had gay people and gay couples in this church. And I would talk to them. I would speak with them. And I would share my heart with them. And I would share what God's word says. And I also would share, look, if you're here and you want to hear the word, you're welcome to be here and hear the word of God. You're welcome. We got a plaster on our van, right? A place where everyone's accepted. It's all over our church van. I love being a traffic light in town. Everybody's sitting there reading. We got a whole billboard. Bob did for us. If we have the love of Christ in us, we won't spew all that stuff. We'll understand, okay, God, it's in your plan and your will, and I trust you. And God, you said to love one another. Bible says love our neighbor, right? What if your neighbor's Gail? Still going to love him? You got to. Here's a better over neighbor, Nancy Rose.
You'll have fun.
Have fun. You got to love her. We love our neighbors. God didn't say you love the neighbors you like. You love the neighbors that, you know, fit your agenda. You love your neighbors. No matter where they're from. No matter how they act, you love them. That's the love of Christ. We're wrestling against flesh and blood, against powers, against rules of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Here's what we have done in the last 8 months as church. Most of you know the story. A lot of you were here in the very beginning of when things started. When Governor Cooper came out with the executive order, the 10 rule thing, did our best to honor that to the best of our abilities. Many ministers decided not to be at the church, to preach from the porch, the decks, the couches. I prayed about that, and I was like, no, I'm going to be in that. Well, then it was in the sanctuary. We're out here now, but I'm going to be at the sanctuary Sunday morning and Wednesday night like always, like normal, preaching the word of God. We kept the doors unlocked. I did ask. We only have our worship team and singers here, and we had probably 12 or 13 those first few weeks. Had a little more than 10, you know, 12 or 13 people. Had them spread out, and the doors were unlocked. And I just kept preaching, and I kept being here. People would call, can I come? I said, look, the doors are open. I'm not going to tell you you can't come here. I mean, whatever they do, they do. Look, this is the church. This is, church, I'm going to be honest with you. How do you shut down God? You can't shut down God. I mean, I understand there's safety. I understand there's things. But like I've been saying, we're people of faith. We either are the world or we're people of faith. You got to make a decision. Which one? Do you believe God or do you believe that? And so we kept the doors open, tried to do the things right. We spread seats out. We, you know, put sanitizer out. The mask is your decision. I left that up to y'all. Some churches are enforcing masks. I never felt led to do that. I prayed about it. That's your decision. Some of you do, some of you don't. And I'll carry either way. I just want you here. It don't matter. I just want you here. I feel like that was a decision you need to make, not me. And so we've done that, and we've been trying to be steady. And my whole point of saying that is for this verse. When we've done all, just stand. And during the past 8 months, that's all I've tried to do. God, I'm just going to stand. I can't control. You know, I text our folks, it's not coming. Many of you asked about our folks not coming. I don't know why they're not coming. I wish you'd call and ask them why they're not coming, because I don't know. I get bombarded. I don't know why they're not coming. Okay, I'm reaching out, I'm texting, whether it's they're afraid, whether it's just they're out of church. I don't know. You know, but believe me, it saddens me as a pastor to have as many out as we have out right now. I mean, but it is what it is. So all I can do is stand. When I've done all, I stand. I trust God, and I stand. I trust God, and I minister. I trust God for all of this, and God has honored that, and God has blessed that, and God has kept us together, and God has kept things moving forward, and God has kept things happening. It's a smaller crowd than it was in March, but we're still together, and we're still established, and we're still here, and people, I hope, know that we are here, and we are going to be here no matter what. We're going to be here, church. I told my wife when it first happened, I said, if I got to be the only one in the sanctuary, I will put my suit on every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and I live about 20 minutes from the church now where I live, and I said, I will drive here every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I'll stand in that sanctuary by myself, and I'll preach through a camera if I have to be in that sanctuary. To me, it was that important, people to see that we are in the house of God, and I'm standing on that. I'm not going to back away from that because somebody tells me to. Remember your parents used to tell you, well, Billy told me to do it, Daddy. Well, Billy jumped off a cliff. Would you jump off? Would you follow him? How many times have we heard that excuse, right? Well, Billy did it. Well, if he ate rat poison, would you eat rat poison? We got to have our own minds sometimes and think for ourselves and recognize what's happening and recognize what's going on. We now have our governor trying to tell us how to have Thanksgiving. Have you seen this story? Don't have Thanksgiving. Can't have no gatherings. Go to the California Board of Health. It's a website. I went and researched it. The California governor has these stupidest things about personal, your home Thanksgiving, what you can and can't do. You can't have more than three of your kids in the house at one time. This is on their website. See, church, here's the deal. Here's why I've been so adamant about this. It's like the old story about the frog boiling, right? You put a frog in a hot pot. Real good. Sauna. A little bit of steam starts coming up. You turn it up. Croaking, you know, I like this. And that croaking, before you know, it croaks. You slowly turn it up until it's dead. We've got to be careful what we are allowing to happen in our lives. Amen. We have a duty to also stand up for the things. Some of this is scriptural. God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to have faith in you. I can't believe we're letting people tell us how to have Thanksgiving in our own home. How many of you can have gathered? And the governor of California says you can have no indoor Thanksgiving. Everything got to be, if you meet for Thanksgiving, it's got to be outdoors. And you got to have your mask on the whole time, except between bites. Don't quite say that. But it says, just as you eat, and then as soon as you eat, you got to put it back on the whole time you're in your own house with your own family. I wish I had a cuckoo clock back there. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Are you serious? We're off topic. I'm sorry. Let's go back. Well, really not. We're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places, and we're seeing a lot of things happen that are with that. Luke chapter 1. This is the announcement of Jesus coming to the earth. Luke 1, verse 31 says this. This is when the angel is announcing to Mary what's about to happen. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. This Jesus has got a kingdom. There is no end. You know, we can rock the vote all we want on Tuesday. We ain't going to rock that vote. That vote's done been rocked. It's done. It's established. He's forever. His kingdom's forever. That tells me I've got a kingdom I'm going to translate into beyond this, that when all of this junk ends, there's a kingdom waiting on me that's waiting with open arms. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. This is the real kingdom. This is what Jesus came to establish, his kingdom forever more. A couple more verses. Bear with me. John, St. John, chapter 6. John 6, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It's such a beautiful chapter describing who Jesus is. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, His own words, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. This is the candidate Jesus we're talking about. Doesn't mean you ain't going to have problems or struggles. If you married, you got problems. Can I get amen? If you got kids, you got problems. I mean, it's just, you got a job, you got problems. You got a car, especially an American-made car, you got problems. We all got problems. All God's children got problems. But what Jesus is saying is, when you follow me, when you trust me, there's nothing else you need. See, in this earth, there's things I have to have. I have to have food. I have to have water. I have to have sleep. There's things we have to have. It's called the hierarchy of whatever. Just yeah. Say it again, Melanie. Maslow's? Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs. Yes. So we know we need those things. So I need those. But when I got Christ, I don't need anything else. I really don't. I've got it all. I've got it all. My future is sealed. My past is forgiven. My present is okay. Because as long as I've got him in the middle of my storm, I'm okay. In the middle of my battle, I'm okay. God is with me. The Bible says that in Psalm 23, the shepherd Psalms, that he will, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? We walk through. I love that part. We walk through it. We don't stay in it. We're not consumed by it. We're not overtaken by it. We walk through it. We walk through dark days. We're on this earth. We're going to have dark days that we don't want. But the kingdom of God is one thing I can take to the bank. It's one thing that's never going to change. It's one thing. My Jesus is always going to be Lord. He's always the healer. He's always the provider. He's always the protector. He's always everything I need. He's the great I am, always. I don't have to worry about that. It's the one thing that doesn't change. No matter how rotten my Monday morning is, you're still king. No matter how much my wife yells at me, you're still king. No matter how much my kids rebel, God, you're still king. That doesn't change. If I don't have a job, I don't have any money, God, you're still king. If I lose my home, God, you're still king. God, see, his position doesn't change. This candidate is here to stay, and I'm so thankful. And I choose to vote for him every time. Verse 47, same chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Boy, that's a deal, ain't it? That's a deal. Everlasting life. I'm never going to taste death as a Christian. I'm never going to really ever know what death is. We're not as Christians. Everlasting life means life that doesn't end, right? It goes on and on and on and on. See, I've said this before. As Christians, we only have a death sentence. You know, preachers love quoting Hebrews. Is it Hebrews 12, Hebrews 11? For it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Next verse talks about, so Christ was offered. We don't really have a death sentence. We have a life sentence. It's a big difference. I have a life sentence. I'm sentenced for life to be with God. When I place my faith in him, my death sentence was canceled and my life sentence began. I'm now serving life. Hallelujah. And it's more than bread and water. It's manna and living water. I'm serving life. 51, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The very woman I saw on a Facebook post holding a sign, she was pro-choice. And she was holding a sign on Facebook and had a sign on these words that says, if Mary would have had an abortion, we wouldn't have been in this mess. But here's the good news. That was very good. That was very dramatic. Thank you for that. That was great sound effects. That's what I've seen it. Here's the good news. Jesus gave his life for her too. Amen. Where we gasp and point the finger and say, oh my God, you hellion. Mm-mm. Jesus says no. That's right. I gave my life for her. Whether she believes it or not, I gave my life for her. Whether she loves me or not, I gave my life for her. This is the depth of the love of God, that you can hold signs like that, but it doesn't change that Jesus shed his blood for mankind. That you can rebel and curse his name, it doesn't mean that Jesus didn't shed his blood for mankind. That's a love hard to get our head around, because most of us, somebody does a least little thing to us, we don't even talk to them. We ignore them in the Walmart aisle, right? We ignore them. I was talking to someone today about that. Someone that known someone for a long, long time. We're good friends. Now I don't want to talk to them. Just like, turn her head. I mean, that's ridiculous. Jesus gave his life for the world. His flesh for the world. And all this woman holding this sign needs is that understanding and revelation to come to her heart to realize, you don't know what you're saying, woman. You have no idea what you're saying. Because Mary didn't have an abortion is why you have the chance and hope of everlasting life. This seed called Jesus that came to the earth changed everything. It divided time. We now have BC and AD because of the life of Jesus. It changed everything. It changed our future. This living bread that came from heaven. Two more verses for you. 1 John chapter 1. And I got more verses than normal this morning. This is kind of the way it happened today. 1 John 4:10 says this, here's love, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus took what we deserved upon himself. Crucifixion was one of the most horrific cruel deaths possible. It was not only humiliating, it was physically agonizing. A person that was crucified would hang on that cross, and they would nail him in a position to where they would have to gasp for breath to the point they couldn't gasp no more, and they literally suffocated to death. Think about how awful that would be to suffocate to death. They mocked him, they cussed him, they spit upon him. Don't spit on Melon, she'd backslap you to Jupiter. They cussed him, spit upon him, slapped him, put nails in him, hung him up there in front of thousands of people as a mockery, blaspheming him, oh hell, King of the Jews, oh hell, put a robe around him, crown of thorns, the whole bit, just nasty, vengeful. Beating him along as he's carrying the cross, 39 stripes across the back of the whipping post. All this stuff happened. Between two thieves, how humiliating. Here's God in the flesh between two thieves, right? And one thief's back talking them to, and one thief's blaspheming, and one thief's talking, and one thief's saying, you know, oh, cursing God. But the other thief has a moment of repentance. The other thief recognizes, says, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And I love this, man. I don't see how religious folks get around this verse about baptism. I don't think he was water baptized, do you, Dave, before he died? I don't think there was no altar call or no oil slapped on him. There wasn't no sinner's prayer confessed. Yes, Lord, you died for my sins. Yet all he did was say, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Church, I want you to picture this. We jumped so many hoops, working so hard and pressing so hard for something that God has already done. He's already done it. But we keep pressing and pressing in, and I got to press in, and I got to get this. And if I do more of this, God will love me more. God will hear me more. God will move for me more. God will bless me more. How much more can he bless you? He saved you from death and damnation forevermore. How much more do you want to be blessed than that? Nothing else beyond that matters. So what, you don't get everything here you want? Man, you got everything there waiting on you. Oh my gosh. The old song, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, what a day that's going to be. That old song, Bill, by the Gates. Remember that song, like, when I bow my knee? We heard that song at a funeral home. I said that. Bow my knee. I'll sing holy, 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 yeah. I'll see Peter, and I'll see Paul, and I'll see Moses, blah, blah, blah. But when I see Jesus, oh, when I see Jesus, when I see the one who took my place, the one who didn't have to, the one who could have called a million angels to rescue him, the one who said, Lord, let this cup pass, but not my will, but your will be done, God. I'll do, even when his disciple sliced off the ear of the soldier, and to Jesus' defense, which is a good disciple, he said, he tried to, you know, hurt him. No, no, don't touch him. What did Jesus do? Healed his ear. The very one arresting him, he healed his ear. Why? He was being the light of the world. He wasn't going to let his light be blown out. He came for that reason. He knew that he would be arrested. He knew he would be crucified. He knew he would rise again. And he knew he would be King of Kings of the new kingdom of God forevermore. He knew that. So he went to the cross willingly. They didn't capture him. He surrendered. They didn't overtake him. He submitted. There's a big difference. He didn't fight tooth and nail. He walked in and said, here I am. This must happen. And even on the cross, one of the last things he said, as he was saying those last few statements, as he still could talk, he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Think about that statement a minute. It's like Bill talking about Sunday school, about how a parent sees the big picture. Your kid don't. Kid says, why can't I go? No, you can't go. Why? Because you know more than they know. All they're saying is, I can't go spend the night at my friend's house. Johnny's a good kid. Okay, yeah, but his parents are rotten or crackheads. You don't know that. And I can't tell you that. So no, you can't go. You don't tell your 8-year-old they're crackheads. You just say, no, you can't go. Okay? Well, why? Johnny's a good kid. They live in a nice... Look, we see the big picture. We know. We know this situation. God sees the big picture. And when Jesus was on the cross... He knew they didn't know what they were doing. They did not know they were snuffing out their only hope. They didn't know that. They truly were being loyal to their allegiance. Just like all of us in here, whether Republican or Democrat, most of us are loyal to a party. Okay, anybody says, we all normally vote party. And one of us are loyal to a party most time. And we're loyal to that. No matter what, we're loyal. If we're wrong, we're still loyal. We may be loyally wrong. Loyally wrong. But they were wrong in what they did, but it had to be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled. And the same soldiers that strapped him on that cross, the same ones, the very one that did a big old spit wad right in his face, was the very one he died for. You ever seen a whipping post? Y'all seen a picture of that probably in the Bible, the whipping post. They would tie their hands on a post, you know, and they could go around at 360 like this. Or they tie chains, you know, chains to a post, and they could kind of go around like this. And they would take that leather whip, had pieces of bone in it. And by law, they could not do more. The max was 39 stripes. That's the max they could give. 39. You thought your daddy beat you? 39 stripes. And he's at this whipping post, shirt off. And this leather whip's coming across him, shoulders, back, legs, head, wherever it hit. And every time that whip would go in there, it would pull out flesh as it was come back. 39 stripes, because Jesus received the maximum penalty the law could give. He was beaten horribly. But yet, the very ones that was doing the whip, he was sitting there, I'm sure, thinking, if he only knew what's about to come, that this whip ain't going to kill me. It's not going to destroy me. It's not going to derail my purpose. It's not going to derail my destiny. It's not going to derail my appointment. This must be for you to have hope. One more verse I want to read here, 1 John 1:9. You may say, what do I do, Pastor, to follow this candidate? 1 John 1:9 is very simple. If we confess our sins. Now notice what it says here. If we confess our sins, it doesn't say anything else, does it? It doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say, see, a lot of preachers, they'll get you up the altar and so to speak, get you saved, right? Then they give you a manual of how to stay saved. Here's your 101 of what not to do now. Okay, really? Oh my gosh, drive me bonkers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we follow this candidate. We say, Lord, I need you in my life. I've been following the wrong party way too long. I've been following the wrong influence way too long. I've been letting the world have way too much of me, God. I've been following this path, and I'm rebelling against everything you've called me to walk in. And God, I'm tired of that life, and I'm tired of that way, and I want to confess all of my sins to you. God, I've been wrong, so wrong. And I know there's no good in me. The Bible says there's none good, not one. There's none good. A very, very funny illustration of that. I've told this before, but you know, y'all remember Virgil Short? He used to come to church here. He's passed away now, but Virgil was something else. He was just he's from Virginia, and he's a businessman, and always, you know, wore a suit from Joseph S. Banks. Yeah, he's always at a Joseph S. Banks store. Get the suits. He came out the front door one Sunday morning. He looked at me and hair all slick in his nice suit and stuck his hand out and says, he says, Preacher, that's a good mess this morning talking about sin. And you didn't touch me. Now, he was kidding, I guess. But, are you up there, Virgil? he was kidding, I guess. But you know what? Sometimes we feel that way in our hearts. Didn't touch me. How many times you heard me here joke about when I'm preaching a message? Sometimes I see some of y'all elbow. You see Barbara elbow and Don. I'll be saying something and Barbara be back there. And I've always said the one that really was for it was the one doing this. The one that's doing this is the one that's really hitting home with. So be careful who you elbow. It's a telltale sign, I promise. We confess our sins, church. All we got to do is say, yes, Lord, I know without you, there's no hope. Yes. Without you, God, I'm lost. Without you, God, without what you did for me, there would be no hope. But God, I believe in what you did. I trust what you did. I accept what you did. And God, I'll follow your plan for my life to the best of my ability. Don't mean we're not going to fall. Church, I'm not one of these preachers that believes you drink a beer, you go to hell. You do this, you go to hell. I understand what faith in Christ is, what real faith in Christ is. Bless you. We're going to say things we shouldn't say. We're going to say ugly words maybe we shouldn't say. We're going to do things we shouldn't say. We're going to look at things we shouldn't look at. We're going to think things we shouldn't think. We can't control that. You can go bury your head 6 feet under in a sand and not see nothing and still be thinking bad thoughts. It's just human nature. See, Jesus came to remove the penalty that we were born with. When I was born at 8 pounds, 1 ounce, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, this little bouncing boy, when I was born, on my big toe was a tag that says, sin. I know mom don't see it that way, but I was, sin. Every one of you had that on your toe, sin, sin, sin. And the only way that sin could be absolved was for a price to be paid. And the price can't be paid by us keeping the laws because none of us can keep the laws, church. I get so tired of people saying that. Yeah, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I don't do nothing. Really? You do something, I want to follow you around a little bit, see what you're up to. Guarantee I'll catch you doing something. They're boasting, exactly right. And they're lying. Big liar and a boaster. The Bible is clear that this grace is a gift of God. In fact, it says that, right? You're saved by grace, not by works. It's a gift from God, lest any man boast. I've said many times, oh, man, I've been fast. I've been on a 5-day fast. You know what that makes me? Yeah, hungry. I get it. Fast or good, but yeah. You go around looking like this. What's wrong, James? Oh, nothing. Just serving the Lord. I can't talk about it, though. You want some lunch? No, I can't eat today. I can't tell you why. I'm just serving the Lord. Okay. I think any idiot can figure that out. What's going on? Things you do for the Lord, you do for the Lord, not for man. You don't get on a mountaintop and shout all the acclamations you're doing for God. These are things you do behind the scenes. Then God openly rewards you and blesses you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. We have two candidates. We have a liar, a thief, a murderer, a destroyer called Satan. Then we have a life giver, right? Everlasting life, full of love, full of compassion, full of forgiveness, full of peace, full of joy. Which one do we choose? I'll choose Jesus every day of the week, all days of the week. Choose him, church. We have a big week coming up. I just pray for what's happening, and I want to encourage the church body, just to be that light no matter what happens. I don't want to read about you in the paper. I don't want to see you get in Facebook jail. I don't want to see all those things happen. Just, it is what it is. In fact, Bill made a very profound comment, and I meant to Facebook Live your thing this morning, Bill, and just got in there and got lost in what you were saying and forgot it. But, you know, Bill made a great point by saying this. We pray for the will of God to be done, but then if we don't like how it's really done, and we don't agree with how it's done, are we questioning really the plan of God? Are we questioning that? You know, are we saying, okay, God, I want your will to be done, but I don't want it that way? Let's trust God. Let's trust him. God sees the big picture. I mean, I have desires, I have dreams, I have aspirations and goals. There's things we might talk about that we want to happen in our future, whether it does or not. I don't know. I want them to happen. And I do want God's will. I just hope God's will is my will. I really do. But it may not be. But God sees the big picture. God sees what's around the next corner I can't see. God sees around the blind side I can't see. God knows exactly what's going to happen in my life because all of my steps are ordered and all my days are numbered. So to say, Lord, I want your will to be done, but I don't like it. I'm going to rebel against it. Don't you trust God? I trust God. It's okay. I trust him. Let's pray. Father, we have seen, read your word, and we have seen two illustrations of you and who you are and who Satan is. And God, we know Satan is a destroyer and a liar and deceiver, that he is no good, God, for our lives. And yet many, many follow his plan and follow his path because of how he presents the message. I pray the message of Christ was painted clearly today, that we see who you are, God, that you're the living bread which came down from heaven to give us everlasting life, that God, you are the one that quenches our thirst, that you are the one that forgives us of our sins, that you are the one that your kingdom reigns forevermore and nothing can change that. It is you, God, that we trust. It is you that we serve. It is you that we will follow no matter what. I pray for strength this week as it unfolds. I pray, God, for peace as this week unfolds. And I pray that we will be a light like no other during this time, and that people will see that we are trusting you no matter what the outcome is. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.